the Set Apart podcast, biblical encouragement for women of all ages. We're in the midst of our most asked question series, and this week we're going to hit the topic of how should I handle manipulative people? And maybe you've been in a friendship that felt very controlling and manipulative, or you're around people that you feel like are trying to take advantage of you. How do you handle those situations in a truly biblical and Christ-honoring way? So we're going to dive into that in a few minutes. Before we jump in, I wanted to let you know that there are a few spots left for our He Is conference, June 7th through 9th. It's Experiencing the Extraordinary Reality of Jesus. And you can join us in Colorado if you want to grab one of the last few spots, or you can sign up for a simulcast and you'll have access to the sessions for the rest of the year, so you can enjoy them anytime that works for you. And streaming a simulcast is a great way to share this message with other women in your life. Whether you gather some friends together in a living room or fill an entire auditorium full of ladies, this is a great way to just cast a vision for who Jesus is and who He wants to be in our daily lives. I'm really excited for what God has in store for this weekend, and I hope you can join us. So let's talk about handling manipulative people. Now, I'll say right up front, I've been fighting off a cold this week, so please excuse me if I sound a little bit stuffy, but I am really excited about this topic, even though it's not really a super easy one to dive into biblically. It's something that I've had some personal experience with, and it's really caused me to go to the Word of God and say, Lord, I need your perspective on this. And we've talked so much in this podcast about the importance of self-sacrificing and sacrificial love and pouring out our life on behalf of others and putting others' needs above our own. And these are rock solid biblical truths that are the foundation of a Christ-centered lifestyle. And they are so opposite of the culture, which is constantly telling us, put yourself first. And yet there are controlling and manipulative people, sometimes within the church, that are going to seek to dominate our time and our focus, to pull us away from our primary calling, the priorities that God has on our life. And so living an outward and self-sacrificial life doesn't mean allowing yourself to be controlled or manipulated by others. And a lot of women find themselves in controlling or manipulative friendships. So in this episode, we're going to look at some biblical keys to help you avoid those situations or being set free if you've already find yourself in a relationship that is manipulative. Now, I'm not really going to dive into the issue of when you're married to a spouse that has control or manipulation issues, because that's a bit of a different situation, and I may cover that in another episode. The encouragement that I want to give to you if you are married and you feel like you're in a controlling type of situation is not to underestimate the power of consistent wrestling prayer to see God change the heart of your spouse. And of course, if you're in any kind of abusive situation, seek help right away. I'm not really going to cover the situations of abusive relationships in this episode, because there is control and manipulation associated with abuse, but that needs its own specific episode with very specific guidelines and principles. The principles I want to talk about today have to do with controlling or manipulative friendships, usually with other women. And I want to start by sharing a story that happened to me when I was a young mom with several young children at home. It was a really intense season of life, and I wasn't even really aware that the enemy was using an unhealthy friendship to pull me away from God's priorities and weigh me down with distractions. I remember, though, one specific night when Eric was out of town and I had had a really exhausting day trying to deal with four young children. I finally got everyone into bed. It was late at night. I finally fell asleep. And just when I drifted into sleep, my phone vibrated and I just popped awake with all this adrenaline, like, what's going on? Who's calling me in the middle of the night? And my friend had called me or texted me, actually, talking about a relational drama that she was going through, a relational crisis she was in, and sending me all these emotionally charged details of what this other person had said or done to offend her. Now, again, this was not some abusive situation or some dangerous situation. It was more like emotional venting and ranting against someone. And she had this idea that she needed to contact me and I needed to be her listening ear in the middle of this situation. And I felt like this was a pretty normal pattern in this friendship. She was someone that I had really connected with. We seemed to have a lot of things in common. She was in ministry. She was in leadership. She had a lot of the same passions that I did. And she really did seem to have a genuine relationship with Christ. But I noticed that often she was always going through these dramas in her life, and she would have a way of pulling me into them. And so her drama would become my drama. And usually it happened at a very inconvenient time when I was needing to be with my family or my relationship with God or getting rest or things like that. And so pretty soon I realized this friendship actually had an unhealthy hold on me. And I realized something needed to change in my relationship with this friend. I had always assumed that being available to a friend 24/7, just being the one that they can call anytime, day or night, meant, you know, you're being a good friend, you're being Christ-like. But as I went to the Word of God, I discovered that God's pattern for healthy friendships is different from what we often think that it is, especially what's popular in the modern church today. And some of this was covered in our last episode, so I'm just going to briefly touch on it here in case you didn't catch that episode. Certain things that I had always assumed were right and healthy patterns in friendship were actually very different than what I saw in the Word of God. I thought being a good listener meant just constant availability, but a closer look at Scripture showed me I was actually doing more harm than good by never putting boundaries around my friend's access to me. Psalm 62:8 gives a very clear directive about how to process our emotions and difficulties. And processing is a buzzword today. It's something so many people do. You kind of feel like if you don't have someone that you can just vent and express all your emotions to, you know, something's missing in your life. But it says in this scripture, trust Him at all times. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. And so in making myself available for this friend to pour out her heart to me whenever she wanted, I was robbing her of the opportunity to first and foremost pour out her heart to God in her hour of need. And I had unwittingly allowed my friend to develop an unhealthy emotional dependence on me, which caused her to look to the wrong source for comfort and perspective. When she really needed God's heart and God's perspective, she was trying to seek that in a human relationship. I was allowing her to control the way I spent my time and my priorities instead of really being led by the Spirit of God. I began to put boundaries around my availability to this friend and her emotional outpourings, and I began to encourage her to take her cares to the feet of Jesus instead of always making me her first turn. And as I took that simple step of obedience, my relationship with God and my family began to thrive again. I hadn't even realized how unhealthy this friendship was until I finally put it in its proper place. So how do you know if you are being manipulated? Maybe you're not in that exact situation, but maybe you have friends who always seem to dominate your time and your focus, and you feel the pressure to be available to them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Could be a romantic relationship. If you're in those single years, it's very easy for a dating relationship to gain an unhealthy grip on your life and pull you away from Christ. Or maybe you have people in your life who look to you for their security instead of to God, as we talked a little bit about in last week's episode on what's healthy ministry. And when this happens, you may feel like everything's going to fall apart unless you are constantly there for them. And there are a lot of other ways people can manipulate and control us, but it all comes down to this. Manipulative people attempt to take a position in our lives that only God was meant to have. He is the one who should be defining our priorities and our responses and our focus and our time, not the emotional control of another human. So if you find yourself always worrying about what this person thinks of you, or worrying that they'll get upset with you, or always filtering your decisions through a lens of what will please them or displease them, if there's fear or guilt associated with that friendship, that's another warning sign that it could be unhealthy or manipulative. I want to take a look at a few biblical keys that can help us avoid being manipulated by others. And the first one may be a little surprising, but it's develop a no-gossip policy. Because oftentimes people, especially women, manipulate through gossip. Another one of the ways that this particular friend that I just shared about was controlling me or influencing me was sharing her hurts or concerns about people that we both knew. It was always under the banner of like asking for prayer or processing her feelings or emotions or just unburdening her soul to me, but it was actually causing me to be suspicious of people that I knew or think less of the people that she was talking to me about. And eventually I began to realize that this was a form of manipulation and it was also gossip. She was using her words to steer my opinion of other people, and it was actually bringing suspicion and disunity into the body of Christ. This friend was literally casting a slur on other people and causing me not to look at them in the same way that I always had. And gossip, sadly, is common among Christian women today. It's often clothed in spirituality, needing prayer, asking for advice about someone, sharing burdens or concerns. Whether your friends are gossiping to you and influencing your thoughts towards other people, or if they're pulling you into gossip, where you start to participate in gossip yourself, it's one of the primary tools that the enemy uses to bring us under the thumb of manipulation. So the first thing that we can do to protect against this is to refuse to listen to gossip or participate in gossip in any way. I had to learn how to recognize spiritualized gossip. I put that in air quotes because it's tricky. You have to be very alert to the enemy's schemes because he does clothe himself as an angel of light. So a lot of times what seems like a genuine request for prayer could actually be spiritualized gossip. So you have to be alert to that and let the Spirit of God give you those cautions where you need to stay. I don't want to hear this right now. We need to change the subject. You can't share that with me. And you might need to be a lot more firm and bold in your stand against gossip than you realize. The Bible gives very clear directives when it comes to gossip. It says in Proverbs 15:2-3, "The one whose walk is blameless, who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from their heart, whose tongue utters no slander, who does no wrong to a neighbor, and casts no slur upon others." That is God's outline for how we are to conduct ourselves. And then Proverbs 11:19 says, "With their mouths, the godless destroy their neighbors, friends, people they know in their church, but through knowledge, the righteous escape." So we need to look at this as something we have to flee from and escape from. It helps us not be brought into manipulation through gossip. One of the things that often happens when we listen to gossip is we hear what they're saying about other people, and then we start wondering what they might be saying about us, and then we're really afraid to get into their bad graces, so therefore they have us under their control. So I had to tell this friend, "I need you to stop sharing these things with me. If you need my prayer, just speak in clothed, veiled terms. I don't need to know the details or the names of the people, but I'll pray for you. But don't share details or concerns you have about all these people that we both know, because that is gossip and it's causing a rift in my relationship with them." Another thing to keep in mind if you're seeking to avoid being manipulated is to watch out for favoritism and flattery, which sounds odd, and it took me a while to recognize that this actually is a warning sign of manipulation. But one of the ways I have seen women manipulate others is to show favoritism towards a specific person or a few specific people. And the people they are favoring can be manipulated because it feeds their ego to be appreciated in that way. The people who are on the outside of the circle of favor feel rejected and even more needy for affirmation and approval from that person. And one thing I've had to learn in all my years in ministry is the difference between flattery and encouragement, because encouragement is very edifying. It's one of the ways we can build up the body of Christ. It's an amazing function of the body, and it's so needed. But there's also a counterfeit form of encouragement, and the Bible calls it flattery. Proverbs 20:19 says, "He who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with one who flatters with his lips." And then it says in Proverbs 29:5, "A man who flatters his neighbor spreads a net for his feet." Isn't that interesting? It's actually painting a very vivid picture of manipulation right there. He's flattering and saying all of these, you know, words that build up the person's pride, but he's actually spreading a net for that person's feet. It also says in Proverbs 5, "Call understanding your nearest kin, that they may keep you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words." And then in Daniel 11:32, "Those who do wickedly against the covenant, he shall corrupt with flattery." And then in Romans 16:18, Paul says, "Such people do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own appetites, and by smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the hearts of the naive." Having someone share that they appreciate things that they've seen in your life, or if they admire you in some way, can be encouraging and can be healthy. But having someone put you on a pedestal and constantly gush over you is dangerous, and it often has a manipulative root. So be sure your antenna is up. If you have someone in your life who is constantly tempting you towards pride or going on and on about all the things that they see in you and admire in you, and they give you special attention where other people feel sort of lesser than, I can point to some of the most dangerous and manipulative people that ever tried to undermine Eric and myself in ministry. In almost every single case, our relationship with them started out with flattery. It wasn't like they came into our midst and you could see right away that they were up to no good. They came in with this very like false encouragement, false humility. And we didn't always see it as flattery right away. We thought they had just been impacted by our message and our ministry. But as the relationship continued, it just became too much. They put us on a platform. They made too much of our accomplishments. And that became our warning sign that they might have ulterior motives. In these cases, they did. If you find yourself pining over someone's favor because they're showing favoritism to you, or if you're being baited toward pride because they are favoring you or flattering you, or maybe you're looking to that person to meet inner emotional needs in your life instead of to Christ, these are all warning signs that that person could be manipulative and unhealthy and gaining a grip over your life that they were never meant to have. Another warning sign is to recognize guilt trips. And one of the primary ways that manipulation happens, especially among women, is through guilt trips. When someone is trying to play upon your human sympathy in a manipulative way, they try to make you feel guilty if you don't just give them what they're after, whether it's time or money or energy or counsel, etc. I remember one situation when we had planned to meet with a woman who was under our spiritual care, under our authority in the ministry that we were leading, and we needed to confront her about a serious sin in her life. And instead of allowing us to speak, she began crying and carrying on about how difficult her life was, all the hurts and pain in her life, and how she didn't think she could go on. It was really obvious that she was trying to throw us off track with a sob story because she really didn't want to be challenged or receive any kind of loving correction. It was the kind of situation where she was trying to make us feel so bad for her that we would get a major guilt trip if we challenged her in any way, if we pointed her to truth. Now, guilt trips can happen in all kinds of different ways, but it's something to be very aware of so that we don't become manipulated to people's making us feel bad if we don't respond this way or that way. We can show understanding and sympathy, but the goal is always to show that right kind of comfort that we talked about in the last episode, the kind of comfort that points them back to Jesus Christ and teaches them how to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, not just gushing over them with human sympathy. Showing compassion does not mean letting ourselves be guilt-tripped into being soft where we need to be firm. So let's just take a biblical look at why manipulation is so dangerous. Scripture is filled with warnings about not letting ourselves be deceived by others, not letting others control us. Especially in the book of Proverbs, we're warned not to listen to those who flatter or those who want to draw us into evil by being a false kind of friend. And there are some other really eye-opening verses in the New Testament. Jesus says in Matthew 7:15, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but are inwardly are ravenous wolves." And that's a pretty strong warning. And it's really worth noting that a lot of times the most dangerous people come in a seemingly innocent package. So we have to have discernment to recognize that manipulation for what it is. 2 Timothy 3:1-5, understand this, that in the last days, there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, which is another way of saying manipulation, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. And that is exactly what you see in people who are trying to use spiritual things to gain a control in your life. They have the appearance of godliness, but they do not really yield to the power of God. They are in control. Avoid such people is what it says in this verse. And then in 2 Corinthians 11:14, and no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. And then Jesus says in Matthew 24:4, see that no one leads you astray. Now, we've talked about some of these verses in context of error that we see in the modern church today, but they can also apply to individual relationships where someone is seeking to control us and lead us away from God's priorities. It took me a long time to realize that Satan really does disguise himself as an angel of light, and the wolves really do come in sheep's clothing. People who seem admirable or helpless or needy sometimes do have an agenda to control and lead me astray. Doesn't mean always, but I have to be in step with the Spirit of God to recognize them. During one season of our life, Eric and I were a part of a church that really seemed healthy at first glance, but the leader was oddly controlling. And as we stayed in the church for a little bit of time, we began to notice that no one in his church would ever feel comfortable going anywhere else or even confronting sin in this person's life, there was this odd spiritual manipulation that he had over everyone who came under his spiritual authority. And it was very disturbing to us. And that's why we didn't stay at this church for very long. What was most disturbing to us was the fear that people in the congregation had over this one man. They were so fearful that if they left or they ever questioned anything he did or said, there would be some kind of major retaliation. And this, of course, is an extremely unhealthy situation that is filled to the brim with human manipulation. So here's a key truth. We are meant to be controlled only by the Spirit of the Most High God. And He won't have access to lead us and guide us or live His supernatural life through us fully if we are controlled by a human person rather than controlled by the Spirit of God. If you feel like you have allowed yourself to become manipulated, I encourage you to take the time to repent and turn and let God set you completely free. You will be so amazed at the freedom and the joy that you can find once you allow God to remove unhealthy control of others in your life so that you can make yourself fully and completely available to Him. I still remember one situation where I just drew a line in the sand and I boldly told someone that they could no longer have unhealthy control over me. And I said, whatever the consequences, whatever you choose to do in retaliation, I am not going to cower in fear. I cannot allow you to have this hold over me anymore. And it was such an amazing spiritual breakthrough. And it's really true that when we walk in step with the Spirit of God, we walk in obedience to Him, no weapon formed against us can prosper. Because this one person that I just had to put my foot down and say no more, they had a lot of threats against me, a lot of ways that they could have tried to destroy my life, and they were not able to do that because of God's protection. So don't let fear keep you back from just saying, nope, this is unhealthy. Only the Spirit of God can have control over my life, not the manipulation of another person. When you look at the picture of the Pharisees, in Matthew 23, 6 through 12, Jesus talks about how the Pharisees like to be treated a certain way. They like to have control over people. He says they love the best places at feasts, the best seats in the synagogues, greetings in the marketplaces, and to be called by men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But you, speaking to all of us, do not be called Rabbi, for one is your teacher, the Christ, and you are all brethren. Do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your father, he who is in heaven. And do not be called teacher, for one is your teacher, the Christ. And that is a very interesting warning that Jesus is giving us, not to allow ourselves to be placed on a pedestal where others look to us instead of to Him for their comfort, their security, their guidance. Now, of course, there are teachers, there are earthly fathers, and there's nothing wrong with that. But if we are not pointing people back to the capital F Father, the capital T teacher, then we are usurping God's place. So we need to be very careful that we are not controlling other people by drawing them to ourselves instead of pointing them back to Jesus Christ. It says in Matthew 23, 6 through 12, he who is greatest among you shall be your servant, and whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. That is one of the best tests to know whether someone is truly manipulative or genuine. Are they humble? Are they exalting themselves, or are they making themselves low and pointing eyes to Jesus Christ? Are they drawing you closer to Jesus Christ, or are they a hindrance in your relationship with Jesus Christ? And for all of us to keep that in mind, that as we seek to influence others for the glory of God, if we truly want to make an eternal impact, God is calling us to walk in humility, to be a servant, not to elevate ourselves, not to control others, to always point back to Him. I hope you've enjoyed this week's episode. If you'd like to go deeper into living a set-apart life for Christ, visit us at setapart.org and look at the many resources that we have for you there. I pray you have a blessed and Christ-centered week.